This is Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Henat Baba. The Syrian war has displaced nearly 3 million children. We've seen the images, kids with their families fleeing areas that have been bombed, people seeking safety in Turkey, Europe, and here in the U.S. When we have conversations about war and refuge, we sometimes forget our children are listening. So how do you talk to kids about things like the war in Syria? That's what Union City Children's author Nahid Senzai tackled in her new novel for middle schoolers, Escape from Aleppo. The story follows 14-year-old Nadia as she makes her way out of the devastation of war. Nahid came to our studios to tell me how she pulled off a war novel for kids. So your story follows Nadia. She's 14. It's 2013, mm-hmm. In the throes of the civil war in Syria. She's smart. She's, you know, obviously scared, but she's 14, so she's also just annoyed. How did you create the character, and why 14?
Well, 14 is such a great age. You're so full of angst, and the world revolves around you. Your interests, your friends. Nadia is a typical girl. Not for Syria, but for the world, for San Francisco, for, Moscow. She is a girl who's more worried about, you know, her classmates, hating algebra, listening to Arab Idol, and polishing her fingernails. Mm-hmm. So for me, she was a wonderfully selfish character who I wanted to grow both personally and also to once again connect with herself and her culture and the history and politics of Syria. So for me, she was a girl who was ripe for exploration. And I wanted her to be similar to any child anywhere around the world to find a connection with her.
Yeah, she's got a cat.
She's got a cat who goes with her.
Mish Mish.
Yes, and a donkey. There's a donkey in the book, too. So, yes.
Right. There's a lot of culture and history in the book. You learn about, you know, ancient artifacts, the foods. You learn about Syria. You learn about Turkey, regional politics. Nadia's companion, in addition to her cat Mish Mish, is an older man named Amu Mazin. Mm-hmm. He kind of grounds her. But he also teaches her a lot. And like you, the reader, you start to learn. And you said you don't want the word learn in here.
Absolutely.
Why?
Why? Because adults included, don't want to learn anything, right? I mean, and especially to a young person, a teen, you know, that's the death knell. You know, you never want to be a writer who's out there to teach or to, you know, impart knowledge unless it's sneakily done.
And it feels like you're sneaking this information that you wish more people knew about these quote-unquote faraway war-torn places.
Absolutely. I always say things don't happen in a vacuum. And until, and I would say this more of not just Syria, I would say this of our own history. As kids, quote-unquote, learn history and politics of our own country, nothing happens within a vacuum. And I think in telling Nadia's story, you have to talk about the 5,000-year-old history of Syria, which includes colonialism, which includes, you know, understanding about the Assad regime, how, you know, the Assad family came into power in Syria, and why the country, although very well educated, economically successful, was fractured into communities, religious communities, ethnic communities.
Right. So there's this part in chapter 9 where Amu Mazin and Nadia are having this conversation, and Nadia is just very, very angry at the Alawites. And she's saying, you know, they're evil and they're hateful. And he says, you know, yes, today their actions are, but long ago under Ottoman rule, they were abused and reviled. Alawite women and children were sold into slavery. Nadia frowned. She'd never heard that before. And then he goes on to tell her kind of more of the history. And that kind of nuanced, complicated, complex understanding of history that's not either or. That's not simply us and a them.
Oh, absolutely. And that was part of my thinking when I wrote that, that there is no black and white. There's shades of gray. And for example, you know, my first book, Shooting Kabul, Osama bin Laden is a hero. supported by the CIA, given money. You know, he was fighting with the Mujahideen against the Soviets. He made some pretty poor decisions after that, right? Mm-hmm. So it's you know, there's that personal will and personal choice that I like to talk about in my literature, because, you know, it's the decisions you make, that's how you impact the world. So when you talk about, you know, looking at things in context. Mm-hmm. I mean, my son is in the fourth grade. They're studying missions, San Francisco, you know, of California, Native Americans, right? One of the most hidden, untalked about things is the genocide against the Native Americans. It is not taught in our schools.
Right.
Facts are not shared. Mm. Truth is not shared. And you cannot rectify the wrongs of history continuing to today if you don't recognize that.
How did you determine how much of the reality of war and refuge you would include in this book? Because this is ongoing. It's happening right now.
Right. I think young people, we do a disservice to them by not telling them the truth and by sharing the actual facts. So my goal was not to shock them, to share gore, but to show consequence. And the consequence of decision making, whether, you know, our country's going at war, when you have conflict, terrible things happen. Injury, death, forced migration. So my goal is never to sugarcoat it, mm-hmm. but to give you enough that you can understand, talk about it, and hopefully as you mature, look for it yourself. So if you're interested in enough, then you will go learn more about, you know, if there's something in the book you found out about ISIS or the conflicting groups. It's very generally stated, but if you really want to understand more, it's a hook for them to go and learn more if they want to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is the first book you've written since the 2016 election.
Yes.
What significance do you think Nadia's story has today in light of this kind of new political climate that's just anti-Nadia?
Right. In a way, Nadia's story should particularly resonate with Americans because this is a country of refugees and immigrants. And that's kind of a cliche. But unless you're Native American or were forced here, in slave ships, you choose to come here. And, you know, you should look at stories like Nadia's and realize that at some point of history and time, your own family came here. Mm-hmm. So the goal is, you know, to look at it that way as well.